Today, we are bending the rubrics a little bit. Tomorrow is actually All Saints' Day, and the prayer book calls for the celebration of that day to be moved to the Sunday following, which is obviously next Sunday. For us, that is the feast day of the day after Lobsterfest. And so it seems in good order that we should honor the major feast day of All Saints' Day today. Today is also the day that we look at our stewardship of all that we've been given. And it may seem like too much for one day or an odd match, All Saints and Stewardship Sunday, but the two really go hand in hand. Think with me for a minute. Who do you think of when you think of a saint? Perhaps the first to come to mind are those famous saints that we recognize in the church calendar year, people like St. Francis or St. Paul, whose writings are so familiar. Maybe we think of St. Peter or Mary, the Mother of Christ, or even Mother Teresa. We hold these saints and many more in high esteem, so much so that we have a hard time remembering that they were just regular people like you and like me. There are probably other people that we think of as saints. Some may have gone to their reward, and some are still in our midst. What is it about these folks that makes us think of them as saints? Certainly, it's not the size of their houses or the great wealth they've amassed. It's not even their fabulous shoes or great sense of style. Most often, it seems that those we consider saints are not particularly concerned with those culturally approved signs of success. One of the many people that comes to my mind when I think of a saint was a man who was very unassuming. He was a math professor that taught at Florida State, and he walked most everywhere he went. Time and again, people would stop and ask Chris if he wanted a ride, especially on particularly rainy or hot days, and the response always given was that he preferred to walk. Ironically and unfortunately, Chris developed a rare lung condition that caused his lungs to slowly stop working. He was in church each Sunday, and as long as he could, he served as a reader. It was always a treat when Chris read in church. He had grown up in England, and when he read, words took on a different meaning almost. Isaiah has always sounded right to me. Near the end of his life, Chris was required to have an oxygen tank with him at all times. And even when I couldn't see him in his pew, I knew he was there because of the constant hiss of the oxygen that allowed him to breathe. He was not a man of many words. He could never be described as chatty, but he was kind and a man of deep thought. None of these things would necessarily classify Chris Hunter as a saint, although the only real requirement for being on the list or in that number, as the old familiar song says, the only requirement is to be baptized into the family of God. What elevated Chris to the upper echelon of sanctum for me was that when he died, I was informed that he had been the biggest giver at St. John's. I had not known, nor would I have ever assumed, that a retired math professor would be the biggest contributor to that church. St. John's is a church that has doctors and lawyers and ex-governors' families. There's much wealth there, and I wrongly assumed that the members of those families gave more of themselves than this unassuming, gentle man. In Chris's life and death, I learned a lot. Not only about Chris, but about me and my often inaccurate assumptions. The question that we need to ask ourselves today is, how do I want to be remembered? Have you ever thought about that? Being remembered is not one of the top 10 things we generally think about. We will forget that we will not be here forever, that at some point we will all be remembered or not. But this is a very important question for each and every one of us. How will I be remembered? If today is the last day of my life, what will people say about me when I'm gone? Will they mention my generous spirit, or the way I gave so freely of myself, my time, my gifts? Or will they have nothing more to say than that I wore really high heels? In Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, Scrooge is given the opportunity to be transported in time to look over his life and make changes in how he would be remembered. He made the needed changes and became a kind and generous man and spared himself from being remembered as a miserly curmudgeon. While we may not be given as dramatic an opportunity to look firsthand at our past selves as Scrooge was, we still have this moment to evaluate our lives and make whatever changes we need to make and live into our sainthood. In just a few minutes, we're going to baptize Nico into the family of believers. We will bring another saint into the great cloud of witnesses. Nico probably has no idea he's a saint or what it means to live into sainthood. His whole life is ahead of him, whatever that whole life is. And the way that Nico and all of the rest of us learn to be saints is to watch and model our lives after the saints who have gone before and the saints who are with us now. Giving and loving and caring for others are three basic characteristics of saints. No one may ever know how much we give of our financial resources, but what we give of ourselves is always known by others. Several years ago, I decided that tithing was the right way to give of my financial resources. At first, the idea of giving 10% of my much treasured money was unsettling. What if that didn't leave me with enough money to cover the rest of my commitments? What I found was that when my first commitment is giving back to God from all that I've been given, I'm freed from being so tied up with money and the constant struggle for more stuff. More stuff is no longer so important. I continue to tithe. The first check I write is to the church, and I am very happy to do that. I'm committed to giving a minimum of 10% back to God. I have increased my pledge this year and plan to continue to do so each year. 10% really isn't so much when we remember that God's standard of giving is 100%. I give 10% of my financial resources, but that's really not what stewardship's about. Stewardship is about our whole lives. How much do we give to God in return for all that we've been given? Our very lives. I'd like to say I give 100% of my life to God, that God is the center of all my thoughts and actions. I'm working on that. Some days I do better than others. I know that God likes a cheerful giver and is not terribly pleased with my impatience, especially when I'm driving. I'm pretty certain I don't want to be remembered as someone who yelled nasty things after being cut off in traffic. That's not the image of sainthood that I'm called to live into. Left to my own devices, I probably wouldn't get very far with living into sainthood. But with God, all things are possible. And with God's help and guidance and direction, I can say that I aim to be one too. How do you want to be remembered? Amen.